Visit us at trammellandmills.com or call 864-485-8585. Fourth and inches, we go for it.
Yoder's Building Services is your locally trusted family-owned building supply company, serving the upstate since 1986 with lumber, windows and doors, roofing and decks, siding and more for homeowners and contractors. And when it comes to windows and doors, Yoder's is proud to partner with Anderson Windows and Doors, known for unmatched quality, durability and energy efficiency. Whether you're replacing a few windows or building your dream home from the ground up, visit Yoder's Building Services. For more information on Anderson Windows and Doors today.
South Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today, Producer Mona?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm wonderful. Thanks for asking. We have lots to get to on today's program. We haven't been here like for a while, since Wednesday. Is that right? Wednesday?
That is correct.
Yeah. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? I know I loaded you up with some food to take with you.
You did.
Packed me. Yeah.
You did. And my brother loaded me up
good.
With some food
so,
for me.
So
I was like, oh, yeah. Like shoving it in all weekend.
Well, good.
Yes.
Clemson football beat South Carolina, Ramona, as you suggested. And
So I got that one right, you
yes.
say?
Okay. I think that I have a completely different read on this game, though, than most people do. I guess. I don't think the defense dominated this game at all. I mean, I think the offense dominated this game. So I watched a completely different game, apparently, because I said last week over and over that not only the team that runs the ball the best would win the game, but I said the important thing was the number of carries. And I said, if Clemson gives the ball to the running backs 25 times, I said, even if it's only for 100 yards, if Clemson hands the ball to the running backs, they'll insulate Klubnik and they'll protect themselves. And they'll win the game. And that's what they did. They ran the ball. They handed the ball to the running backs 32 times. I'm guessing that's the most the running backs have carried the ball all year. That's why Clemson won. They won because of Matt Luke and the run game. And the run game insulated the defense. The defense is still iffy to me. I mean, listen, the biggest play of the game was made by Wade Woodes. And Woodes and Brown played well, and Parker showed up. A few guys showed up, and I'll give them credit for that. I mean, I thought it was a game that Clemson really controlled from start to finish. Now, the dilemma is you can't give up 80-yard plays, and that's still a major problem. And I'm not crediting Clemson's defense with controlling Sellers. Everyone's controlled Sellers all year. I said last week I was not worried about that. I did not think we would see any repeat performance of Lenore Sellers running for $1 million against Clemson. I did not imagine that. I just didn't think it was going to happen, in part because it's not happened against anybody. I mean, The only team Sellers really ran the ball against was Coastal Carolina. So I did not imagine that that would be how Clemson would lose. I thought if Clemson was going to lose to South Carolina, it was going to be on Sellers' arm. And for a while, it looked like that could be the case. But I'm not going to celebrate you giving up 80-yard big plays because that gets you beat almost every time. South Carolina's offense has largely been inept most of the year. So I did not think, honestly, I thought what saved the defense, to be honest, was the fact that Clemson controlled the ball. I mean, South Carolina didn't even attempt to run the ball in the first half. They talked to Beamer at the half, and they say, well, you know, we're going to try and run the ball more in the second half. And then they come out and they do the exact opposite. And finally, they started giving it to Faison. And Faison was averaging like 7 yards a carry when they finally gave him the ball. But they lost control of the game in the first half. And even though they had the two big plays, the control of the game was in Clemson's hands. And it was in Clemson's hands because of Matt Luke, the offensive line, Garrett Riley, the play caller, and the commitment to running the football. Again, I don't believe that Clemson handed the ball to two running backs 32 times in a game all year. I didn't check that. I don't know that for sure. You know, maybe there was a blowout where they didn't. I don't know. But in terms of legitimate league P4 opponents, I doubt there was a game all year where Clemson handed the ball to the running backs 32 times. Because Randall carried it 24 times, and I think Davidson carried it 8 times. That's 24-8. All week I said, give it to him 25 times. Hand it to those two backs 25 times, and that's how you win. I didn't know whether Clemson would do that or not. But I thought that was the recipe to winning. Because I think Cade needs that type of protection. You do not want him fading back and throwing the ball every play. You just don't. You got to run the football. And it also protects him, gives him more time. But I thought the offensive line played well. I thought Matt Luke did a great job. I thought the run game was the key to the whole football game. I thought the run game insulated Cade Klubnik. I thought the run game insulated the defense. Because, again, Clemson had the ball. You know, your defense, look, your defense wasn't out on the field long in the first half, and it wasn't good. You know, Clemson would control the ball, and then slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, 2 seconds, and there are two home run balls. And I'm just not crediting the defense when that happens. I'm just not. I think there were individuals on the defense that played well, but I really thought that it's the opposite of that. I thought it was the control of the game offensively, particularly when it came to running the football, that is why Clemson won, and I thought that would be the recipe for Clemson win if they would do it. I didn't know whether they would do it or not because, again, they have not stuck to the run all year. And I think there have been several times Dabo Swinney was really pissed off because they didn't stick to the run. Now, some will say, well, he's the head coach. He could have said run it. Yes, that's true. That's true. But I thought that it was a game that Clemson was clearly better. They controlled the whole game. And again, to my way of thinking, largely they controlled the game with their offense. So I'm not going to reward this notion of, well, we stopped Sellers because everybody stopped Sellers. And I said last week, time and time again, I did not think Sellers running would be a factor. I just didn't. It hasn't been all year. Their offensive line hasn't been good enough to allow Sellers' running ability to become a factor. Now, the singular biggest play of the game was by Wade Woodes. And I thought both Woodes and Brown played well. I thought Parker played well, a few others. Hampton played pretty well. But the singular biggest game play of the game was made by Wade Woodes. Wade Woodes has taken a lot of criticism this year, and some of it's probably warranted. But Wade Wood has saved his best for last. And make no mistake about it, this is a must-win for Clemson. Must-win. You couldn't lose 3 out of 4 to South Carolina, and the bowl game would have meant squat if Clemson had lost to South Carolina. No one would be going, and no one would care. That's just the reality of it. Clemson had to win this game. Had to. And they did. And they were the better team. But I have questions now. I mean, is Garrett Riley coming back? Maybe he is. And I don't know if I think that's the worst idea in the world either. I know people love to hate Garrett Riley. I thought Garrett Riley had a good plan for South Carolina. And I thought the staying committed to the run was vital. And then, and really, it opened things up. I mean, Cade Klubnik had all day to throw. He had guys running wide open. Ramona could have made any of those throws. She just raised both thumbs in the air. I mean, honestly, I think anybody could have played quarterback and made those throws. Because the Clemson had guys literally running wide open. But I think part of it was they just kept running the football. And obviously, you know, Clemson missed some glorious opportunities early with just some hideous throws by Cade. Just inexplicable that a guy with his level of experience, it can't make those kind of throws. Just craziness. I mean, Antonio Williams doesn't have anybody within like 30 yards of him. He's standing in the end zone all by himself, and you throw it out of bounds. And then the next play, you have Randall for an easy score, and you underthrow it by 6-7 yards. And the ball is picked. And look, Dabo Swinney didn't like any of that either. I mean, he's on air. He mentioned it numerous times. Numerous times. You can't miss those kinds of plays and be a good football team. And at this point, you know, your quarterback can't be making those plays. You can't be having collisions down at the goal line and kicking the ball around the field. I didn't care how many yards. The yards were not important to me. What was important in the whole history of the National Football League, it's the attempts. And I said it repeatedly before we left here, Tuesday, Wednesday, that I thought the whole key to the game was 25 or more rushing attempts. I said I didn't care about yards. I said I didn't care if Adam Randall averaged less than 4 yards a carry, which is basically what happened. I said I didn't care. What I cared about was that he and Davidson had 25 carries or more. It was even better than that. They had 32. And that's why you won. You controlled the game. You kept your defense on the sideline. You didn't subject them to the big play possibilities by controlling the football game in that manner. And your offensive line ruled the day. And your running backs ruled the day. And Matt Luke ruled the day. And Garrett Riley ruled the day with his play calling. Which, again, he schemed guys open, but mostly he committed to running the ball, and he stayed committed to it. And the side that didn't stay committed to it was South Carolina, which didn't run the ball at all. So the whole first half, you had a half where Clemson basically had the ball the entire half. And if it wasn't for two busts, the game would have been – honestly, if you don't have the two busts, the game is over at the half. It's 24-0 or something like that at the half. It's total Clemson control, but for the continued defensive breakdown. So I'm not going to celebrate the defensive effort. I didn't see that. That's not what I saw. I saw a game that was controlled by Clemson's offense and mostly controlled by Matt Luke and Garrett Riley and the offensive line and the run game. And I thought that was the key. So I thought Clemson did everything they needed to do to win. I thought they were clearly the better team. I think if it weren't for the defensive bust, I think the game could have been 24-0. If it wasn't for Cade missing those two throws and the defense and the two defensive busts, that game's like 24-0 at half. I mean, it's not like South Carolina did anything in the first half. It's not like they were running the ball. They didn't run it at all. They didn't run until the third quarter when they finally started giving it to Faison. They hadn't run the ball at all game. I don't know what the rushing yardage at halftime was, but it was a complete whitewash, whatever it was. I mean, complete whitewash in favor of Clemson's. So, to me, you know, when I look at it, I just thought that I was hoping coming in that Clemson would run the ball and stay committed to the run, and they did exactly that. And as I said, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find another game against a P4 team where Clemson handed it to Randall and Davidson 32 times in one game. I don't think there are any. I don't even know what the top number is. But just those two backs, I'm not talking about garbage time and giving it to other backs or whatever. Just those two backs, I don't think there's been a game where Clemson handed it to those two guys 32 times. And I think that's why the Tigers won. And if you go all the way back to the LSU game to start the year, I think had Clemson done the same thing then, they would have won that game too. But I think at the end and later in the year, I think Clemson started to get it right in terms of being a little more committed to running the football. You know, you got a lot of people who want to make an argument that Adam Randall has been the best player for Clemson this year. We've heard that argument. We've voiced that argument. I think you can make a good case for that. Well, then give him the ball. You know, then again, early in the season, Georgia Tech game, he's tapping out because he wasn't used to being a regular running back. And he's tapping out. And so you could not – people who wanted him to get the ball 25 times back then, you couldn't do it. He just – his body wasn't ready for it. He wasn't ready for it. Despite how he looks, he couldn't do it. But as the season went on, I thought you'd get to a point where you would see it. Well, you saw it on Saturday. And that's why Clemson won the game. They kept giving him the ball. They kept giving he and Gideon Davidson the football. And again, the yards aren't important. It's the control of the game. It's you have the ball and they don't. It's you. Look, your defense gave up two, like, 80-yard plays, all right? So it's you had the ball and they don't. And I think that's why Clemson won. So, you know, game balls, I think they would go to Matt Luke. I think they'd go to Garrett Riley for sticking with the run. I think they'd go to the offensive line and to the running backs. And then I think on defense, or particularly Adam Randall, I should say. And then on defense, you know, I think Woodhouse and Brown played well. I thought Hampton played pretty well. Parker showed up and made impact and had, you know, 4.5 sacks or whatever he was credited with. But the singular play of the game was actually made by the defense. The singular play of the game was the Woodhouse tackle on Lenore Sellers, because if he does not make that ankle tackle somewhere around the 35-yard line, wherever that was, Sellers is out the door. He is a walk-in touchdown. There is nobody left. Sellers is going to score on a 40-yard touchdown run, and that touchdown run was going to turn momentum completely around, reinvigorate that place. Willie Bryce would have been going crazy. South Carolina would have taken a 21-20 lead. Listen, you can say what you want about Wade Woodhouse this year, but in the biggest game for many people, Wade Woodhouse showed up, Sammy Brown showed up. Wade Woodhouse made the play of the game, the play of the season, actually, the play of the season. Because, look, if Wade Woodhouse doesn't make that play, Clemson probably loses. It probably goes in a game Clemson should have won, but the score goes to 21-20, and then they're out of their minds. They have all the momentum in the world, and that place is totally jacked up, and now you have a different game. Woodhouse saved the game. Woodhouse making that ankle tackle on a 240-pound quarterback who ran all over Clemson last year. Woodhouse does not make that play. There is no one there. Lenore Sellers is going 40 yards. It's a touchdown, and South Carolina takes a 21-20 lead and maybe wins the game. So Woodhouse, I thought Wade Woodhouse, say whatever you want over the course of the year, I thought Wade Woodhouse saved the season with that tackle. I thought that's... You want the single most important play made by a Clemson player all year, that's it. Now, some will say, well, you know, later in the series, he deflected the pass. He did. But the defensive end on that play stayed home, and I thought it was as big as the Woodhouse deflection. But make no mistake about it. Sellers was scoring. He was out the door. It was an absolute touchdown. There was nobody left. And Woodhouse, with an ankle tackle, brought down a 240-pound quarterback in the open field. And again, if he doesn't get there, that's a touchdown in Clemson trails. So, in the course of the whole season, I think that was the biggest play made in Clemson football season, and it was made by Wade Woodhouse. Waltham Tulip Road Rage, quick break.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMail.com.
Santa's not the only one working hard this season. At Harbin Lumber Company, their team is busy helping you check every project off your list. Whether you're remodeling, repairing, or just adding a little holiday cheer, they've got everything you need to get it done right. Visit Harbin Lumber, where great service and quality materials come together faster than Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. Visit HarbinLumber.com today, and let's beat Santa's visit and get that project done before Santa and your family arrives for the holiday.
There are few better duos out there than college football and chicken. Hawk here, and I'm happy to report that Wendy's has officially launched their highly anticipated chicken tender. They're larger, better, and more premium than anything you'll find in the market. Along with new tenders, try 6 new and improved dipping sauces, including Wendy's signature sauce, sweet chili, scorching hot, and my personal favorite, honey mustard. New chicken tenders from Wendy's. So when you think Wendy's, think tendies. Try them today at your local Wendy's of Anderson, Oconee, or Pickens Counties. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties, the NBA and college basketball are back, and they are in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. The next few days is the best time because it's Feast Week again on Underdog. So from November 26th to November 30th, you can check the app daily for special promos. Playing on Underdog is a cinch. You just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, assists. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I love playing Underdog every single night. College basketball, NBA, sometimes both. It is absolutely the best way to enjoy a night of sports. Right now, here's what you do. Download the app. Use promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_dfs_dfs_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for the best coverage of the NFL Draft and the top 100 players is right here on The Roar on Road Rage with Walt Deptula, weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m., where every day is game day.
Sometimes I feel I am getting kind of low. thoughts I am thinking are the reason, so I try to remember without talking.
You know, I got one guy, Bruno, who said, he's like, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. You're talking about yards. Why don't yards matter? You know, it's this attempts thing is ridiculous. Listen, I'll go slower, okay? Just for you. The 20-year history of the National Football League, actually far more than that, the teams that win are the teams that lead in attempts, not yards. The teams that win are the teams, over the whole history of the National Football League, the teams that win are the teams with the most attempts, because that indicates control of the game. Do you understand it? When a team hands it off 32 times, they're controlling the game. The yardage doesn't matter. I don't care whether a guy goes 80 yards one time and that stacks the yardage number. I care whether you consistently get 4 yards. That's how you win. That's how Clemson won. So if you don't understand it, ask an 8-year-old. They'll explain it to you. Because it's just that simple. That's how Clemson won the game. Exactly the way we said they would need to win the game last week. That's what they did. They controlled the football game. They controlled the outcome. They kept the ball. They kept the defensive exposure limited by owning the football. I mean, really, for the most part, in the whole first half, South Carolina didn't have the ball. They made 2 big plays. That's it. But if you kept giving it to them and giving it back to them without possessing the ball, then the likelihood of them creating more big plays goes up. They almost made one in the second half, except for the Woodes to ankle tackle. So that's how it is. You can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627. Texas said 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Right. I mean, and that's sort of what it was. And that was control of the game. And that's how Clemson won, and that's how Clemson kept Cade from making other mistakes. And had Clemson played that way more this year, some of those other losses would have turned into victories too. So that's the reality of what we saw. That's the reality. Again, the same texters, like, repeating it doesn't make it true. What makes it I mean, no offense, how slow are you? Did I just not explain to you that the entire history of the National Football League shows this? That's what makes it true. Okay, you understand? What makes it true is Clemson carried it 32 times with the running backs and won the game and controlled the entire game, something they haven't done at all season long. That's what makes it true. Doug said, portal, priority, quarterback one, number two, replace. Well, he's given a particular player and company. Yeah, I think you're right. Look, I think that it's obvious that Clemson needs a transfer portal quarterback. The Tigers are not going to have a 10-win season without that next year. You're going to need that element. There's going to be a lot of competition for those guys, obviously. And it will be interesting because I think there'll be 15 guys at that position. And I don't know who they're going to be at. I mean, we know a few of them, but we don't know fully who those guys are going to be at, obviously. We can make some guesses, and there are some situations that would seem to indicate that we will see some transfer quarterbacks. But we don't know that answer as yet. But there's no doubt in my mind that Clemson's going portaling for a starting quality quarterback. And that, hey, listen, that's going to make portal season a lot more interesting around here than it has been. Portal season's been real interesting most places, but it's not been particularly interesting around here. It's going to be a lot more interesting this year around here, without question. Dexter said, how much of Garrett Riley's problems have been the same struggling quarterback for his entire tenure? He's schemed wide receivers open all year. K just can't find him. I think he's been very limited due to quarterback play. I think he's been limited due to a lot of things. I don't know what Dabo Swinney's doing with that, but if Dabo Swinney decides to keep Garrett Riley, I'm fine with that. I mean, not that he has to ask me, but what I'm saying is, you know, my opinion would be I'm fine with that. I know that people hate Garrett Riley. I don't. I think he's been hamstrung in a number of ways. I don't think a starting quarterback has ever played consistently well at all. I think the offensive line play has been incapable of operating what he wants to do. for the most part. And I think all of those things are likely to change. You know, consider this, okay? If you pull the switch on Garrett Riley, all right, and you go and you decide to kick him out, you're going to have a start over. I mean, I don't know that I want a start over at offensive coordinator. Now, again, there's this age-old thing here about, you know, the Clemson offense versus the Chad Morris offense, the Clemson offense versus the Garrett Riley offense. I don't think Garrett Riley's ever really run the Garrett Riley offense here. I think there have been some limitations and reasons that he has not been able to. And yet, we all sort of want to blame him. I'm not so sure. Are there times that I think he's gotten away from some things that would have benefited him to stick with? Yes. Have there been some times that maybe you think the offense lacks some imagination in some ways? Maybe. But I think there have been times that some of the veteran players on this offense needed to learn to crawl before they could walk. And I do think he's been hamstrung in that regard. I don't know what that's – I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know whether Garrett Riley's coming back or not. But if he does, I for one wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't. I think that – and, you know, look, the other thing is he is going to start over with a new quarterback, and that might make a difference depending on your point of view. You know, if you're going to start off over with a new quarterback, then that quarterback's going to have to learn the offense anyway, whatever that offense is. But are we still just talking about the Clemson offense? I don't know. In fact, Texter just said that. Texter 856 said, does the start over matter if you're going to have a new quarterback? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. It's a good question. It's a fair question. I mean, look, there are other questions that we don't know the answer to. I mean, everyone, you know, talks about the receivers and getting Wesco and Moore back. We don't know whether Wesco's going to be back. And if he is, will he be the same player? I'm not talking about transferring. I'm talking about health. His injury is pretty significant. I mean, I obviously we hope that he comes back and we hope that he turns into the same Brian Wesco again. We hope all those things are true, but we don't know that. Which is another reason, until you're certain of that, and I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know where we are in that time frame now, what the expectation is. Do we have any sort of semi-guarantees that he's going to return to football and be the same guy? I don't know that we know that. So I'm just not sure what you can assume there. To me, I think Clemson needs at least one more portal receiver. I mean, the Moore status has been debated because, you know, I forget which game it was, but Moore was, you know, posting his own highlights, and that led people to beg him to return, which was sad. But, you know, if that was meant for advertising purposes, then we don't really know what he's going to do next year, as we've discussed before. So there are, and obviously most of the questions about this team, other than quarterback, are going to relate to defense next year. And, you know, how many guys Clemson's going to bring on that side of the ball. And then I think you're going to need a couple offensive linemen. I think you might need an experienced running back. Obviously, for me, it starts with quarterback. The defensive secondary is going to require a complete makeover. You're going to need another linebacker. You're going to need additional pass rushes. We don't know, you know, people talk about Parker and Held playing well on Saturday, and most have thought that Held has played pretty well all year. We don't know that either of those guys are coming back. And then you would have just Lawson. So, you know, you're going to need pieces. I mean, there's no question about it. And I don't see how you get away with not portaling this year to a much higher extent. I don't know what that extent is. But I do think that's going to happen. All along, I've said 8. There were times I thought, you know, 8, but I'd rather have 10. I mean, I think you're going to need the 10. I think you're going to need that many guys. It's not pushing people out. I just think you're going to need that. Plus, you're going to have, you know, presumably a lot of big-name guys are not going to be here. So, you know, and a lot of high money guys. So you're going to need to replace those guys. I don't see any way around that. So I don't know how that all plays out, but that would be my expectation. But the bottom line on Clemson, South Carolina on Saturday is I thought Clemson was clearly the better team. I thought they played better. You know, I thought going into this game, I thought South Carolina would probably win. I thought it would be close. My concerns were the loss of Jacobs and the loss of Lawson. I thought those two injuries would be key. As it turns out, they weren't. Those two injuries were not key because the offensive line played well and the defensive ends played well. So the loss of Lawson was mitigated, and I thought that was a good thing. But my biggest thing going in all week, I thought, was the number of attempts and Clemson sticking to the run and proving they could stay committed to the run and with control of the game. And as I said, you know, look, we said it all year, going all the way back to game one, there's a complete difference between playing in second and six and second and seven than there is in second and ten. Clemson played in second and six against South Carolina all game, and that left the whole playbook open, and that's why South Carolina couldn't defend Clemson. That's why attempts matter. That's why attempts matter more than breaking off a 70-yard run. That's why it matters. That's control of the game. It allows your entire playbook to stay open on every play. And if you go all the way back to the LSU game, game one, second half, one hand off to a running back, second and 10, third and 10, didn't help your quarterback at all, and lost the game as a result. Clemson did the exact opposite of that against South Carolina. Stayed committed to the run, controlled the game, kept their defense off the field, kept South Carolina's offense off the field, didn't open themselves up to big plays because he mostly had the ball. So that's how you win, and that's how Clemson won. Quick break.
I know what you're going to hear at those holiday parties. Everyone says they'll start after the holidays, and that's exactly why most people never tackle those extra pounds at all. Right now, PhD Weight Loss is making it easy to start before the new year with a bonus designed to get you moving now. They're adding 2 free weeks to your program. That means you can ramp up during the holidays and start the new year already working towards your goal. Those 2 free weeks means you won't roll into January feeling behind. PhD's metabolic reset system teaches your body to burn fat first. No drugs, no starvation diets, no endless workouts. Just a smarter, science-based system that fits real life. And when you mention 2 weeks on the phone, they'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no reason to wait. Call PhD Weight Loss today and start 2026 already ahead. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
We have a product called a tree growth regulator. It doesn't stop the tree from being healthy. It just stops it from getting taller. Growth regulating your trees will make the roots stronger, the trunk stronger long term, and they'll survive the winter storms better. You can find us on the web at SnyderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
When you need plumbing and drain services, call Roto-Rooter and get the problem fixed fast. Roto-Rooter is locally owned and operated. We've been making troubles go down the drain since 1935, and you can count on us for reliable service at your home or business. Call 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO or schedule service online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Tired of waiting on hold forever? Talking to someone 3 states away who doesn't get it? At Upcountry Fiber, we're your neighbors, right here in the upstate, bringing you fast fiber internet and real local support 24/7. No pushy sales, no surprise fees, just honest service and a strong connection. And now it's a perfect time to switch. Save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local, a stronger connection.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
The Roar, your home for all things analytics and salary cap analysis.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm five?
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Waltip to the Red Rage, we are back. 940, wait a minute. Texter 205 says, Walt, waiting for you to get to Kiffin. Oh, it's coming. Trust me, it's coming. I mean, there are some things that are just so unbelievable of the things I have read and heard in this whole situation. I mean, honestly, LSU just spent $100 million to hire a 12-year-old. I mean, that's what they did. And they owe the geriatric $50 million. So they're on the hoof for $150 million to a 12-year-old who you can't trust with anything. I mean, Lane Kiffin, honestly, I've done this a long time. I've never seen anybody as full of crap as Lane Kiffin is. The Ben dude, not our Ben, the Ben reporter who said that, who called Lane Kiffin a hoe and said, you can't make a hoe a wife. And Lane Kiffin took exception to that. He took exception because he saw the truth in it and he knew what he was going to do. That's why he took exception. He knew what he was going to do. I mean, this guy actually had the nerve to say, oh, look, I need to think on it. I need to pray on it. I need to talk to my father figures, Nick Saban and Pete Carroll, before he made a decision. And yet had the nerve to say to his assistant coaches, you get on the frickin' plane right now or you're fired. And it's a mystery why Ole Miss wouldn't want him to continue to coach. I mean, are you kidding? I mean, you don't want that guy anywhere near your program. He's a turncoat. He's trying to steal your players right from under you. There are reports that $7 million was floating around. I don't know if that's true or not. To steal the players right from Ole Miss. I'll tell you what the worst thing I saw is. The worst thing is, I'm going to get to this later. I'm just not even starting on this. No, you know what? Stay tuned on that. Stay tuned on the worst thing. Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you, Robert?
Well, I'm doing great. I hope you and Ramona had a great
thank you, Robert. Yeah, thank you. You too.
Yeah, listen, my wife is an LSU fan, and I told her when I heard the news that LSU and, as far as I'm concerned, my opinion only, LSU and Lane Kiffin deserve each other. Because I could just see them offering up a bounty to go along to buy Ole Miss players to come with Lane Kiffin. That just sounds like something LSU would do. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this has never been about somebody leaving to enhance their position. It's about the way you do things. And this guy had finally established some goodwill, and he burnt it all. Nobody burns through goodwill like Lane Kiffin. No one will ever trust him. His players all hate him now. His ex-players, excuse me. And there are questions, whether people realize it or not, there are questions. There's a belief that Lane Kiffin hates to recruit, that he's just lazy. And, you know, and all the recruiting was done through the Grove Enterprise down there. And again, they were mainly recruiting transfer portal players. Is he going to be able to do that everywhere else? I mean, LSU did it last year. Are they going to commit to doing that every year? And are they going to have the money to do it since they're paying him $100 million and since they're paying Brian Kelly $50
million? Yeah, LSU's like a good liberal university. They just throw good money after bad, and this is just another example. So have at it.
I just I don't know how you trust somebody like that. I mean, does it not occur to you that if this guy is doing those things to the team he just coached, that he can also do it to you, that he's done it to others? Does that not occur to you? Does character not matter at all?
I guess not. I guess not. What do you think about John Summerall to Florida?
I think I like it. People keep comparing Napier and Summerall. I don't think those are the same things. I think Summerall has proven at a lesser level that he can win at times without elite quarterback play, which I think is a plus in his favor. I also think he's sort of a hard A, and so I think he's different in that regard as well. Look, would he have been my first choice? No, there's some other guys that I think I would have liked to have seen Florida entertain, but by and large...
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of my point, is Florida just settle here?
Look, I think Summerall's going to wind up doing a pretty good job. I'm still concerned about the AD there. I think that's a problem, but...
Yeah.
But I think Summerall's going to wind up doing a pretty good job there. Again, he wouldn't have been my first choice. Quite honestly... To me, and I know that some of these guys have re-upped, et cetera, but and I also know what a guy like Rhett Lashley's making. Rhett Lashley's one of the 10 highest-paid coaches in the country right now. But these guys like Jeff Rom, Rhett Lashley, I mean, these guys would have been prime targets for me.
Yeah, and what happened to the guy in Missouri? I mean, did they didn't listen to you at all.
Well, no.
He would have been perfect for Florida.
Well, no, he re-upped. He re-upped.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm curious because, let's be clear, though.
Florida got their third choice, all right? Their first choice was also, the trader, Kiffin.
Yeah.
And then their second choice was probably Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah. That Florida team has some really good young talent.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball. And I'm not just talking about DJ Lagway. I honestly would not want him because I've spent a season watching exactly what you said come to fruition. So I wouldn't want Clemson to get him. But there's some talent on that team that I'd love for Clemson to end up with. One receiver who's a true freshman I'd love to have.
Oh,
a couple of freshman cornerbacks. I mean, they've got a couple of offensive linemen. I mean, maybe a defensive line. I'd love for Clemson to be able to go in there and pick up about three or four of those players from Florida.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see when the portal opens. As far as Clemson, South Carolina, just you're dead on, Walt. And it's funny you should bring up that shoestring tackle that
Woodass
made, because I just knew that Clemson was getting ready to lose 21-20.
Yeah.
I was sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, I think without that play, I think there's a good chance that South Carolina wins the game. I think for a guy who's taken some criticism this year, and some of it's been justified, I thought Wade Woodass in the biggest game of the year. I had somebody write me and say, biggest game of the year, you beat a 3 or 4 win team. Well, again, it's a big game because it's a rivalry game. It's a big game because you're playing on the road. It's mostly a big game because it puts a sweeter end to a sometimes bitter season. And had Clemson lost this game and been a 6-6 team dragging into a bowl game, that would have been a terrible ending and probably a loss, because there would have been no inspiration to play that game at all. It was a big game. It was a big game, whether you think so or not.
Last question, and
not every big game involves the national championship. And some of you people, if you're so spoiled, if we're that far down the line where you think every big game involves the national championship, no. I think from a Clemson perspective, Saturday was a big game. And I'm not saying it last week.
Yeah, people saying what you just were talking about, or they hadn't been fans very long. But, Walt, is South Carolina's offensive line the worst offensive line Clemson has played against? Because I want to know where the stinking defensive linemen were all season.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's struggled all year.
Is it worse than Troy's and worse than Furman's?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, well, I don't know about Furman, but I think from a major college perspective, even including Troy, I think there is some talent there, but the talent isn't ready. And
well, I just want to make sure that you don't think that some of these Clemson players were showing their NFL bona fides in the last game they're going to play at Clemson, just to make sure, you know, that everybody knows, hey, I can still play. I might have laid down a little bit this year, but
yeah,
I still got it.
Well,
so
I think there's a little bit of that. I think there's a little bit of that. Yep. I don't disagree.
Walt, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert. Yep. Tessa said, if you're that spoiled, where'd it go? If you're that spoiled, you've never been to a Detroit Lions, that's Zach, or Missouri fan, or Missouri game. Yeah. Tess says 2016 South Carolina O-line was on skates all game. Well, again, I think this O-line has been bad all year. Lenore Sellers has, there are times he's taking shotgun snaps. There are guys on him immediately. And I think the South Carolina O-line is an issue that obviously they've got to get cleared up. Someone asked me about South Carolina and what they need to do for next year. Well, first thing you need to do is you need to fix your O-line in combo with your running game. You need to create a run game next year that doesn't involve a quarterback, and you didn't have any of that this year. And like I said, we don't know, you know, where Lenore Sellers is going to be. Look, I'm not going to read the tea leaves on it, but, you know, I posed this question on Twitter over the weekend. My guess is he's not there. I don't know if it's NFL. I think it's more likely a transfer year somewhere to sort of reestablish his credibility as a top half of round one candidate. And I think he was really hurt this year in that regard. You know, I see Gamecock people writing, Cutter Woods is better, blah, 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 and this. Sellers stinks and all this stuff. No, I mean, your offensive line was hideous. You basically didn't have any run game. So you're blaming the wrong person. And I think that, but the bottom line is, you know, this all hurt him. It hurt his projection. Now, again, that can change postseason. An individual can change their status rather dramatically. But I'm inclined to think that Lenore Sellers is going to be playing college football next year, just not at South Carolina. I don't know where he's going to be playing. I think weeks ago there was some sort of speculation about Miami. And that would make some sense. I mean, you know Miami is going to add a transfer portal quarterback. Now, whether it's going to be that transfer portal quarterback, we don't know. But I think they would be a candidate, certainly. You know, some people have wondered about, could he come here? I doubt that. But, you know, every time I think I've never seen anything stranger, this year says otherwise. This year jumps up and says otherwise. So, but I don't think he's going to be at South Carolina next year. I think he'll be somewhere else, whether that's Miami or elsewhere, because I think he wants to improve his status and his stock for the NFL draft. So that's what I would expect. Zach says, does Penn State intend on hiring a coach anytime soon? Doesn't seem like it, huh? Look, Kalani Sitake is the name that's come out of nowhere. Penn State people were tracking airplane flights because we're all sort of semi-stalkers now in this age of college football. And really, that's been going on for a long time. But Penn State people tracking airline flights have noticed that the Nittany Lions have been out in Utah. And the belief is Kalani Sitake. And so you've seen Sitake elevate on some of these message boards. Honestly, I like Kalani Sitake. I really like what he's done at BYU. You only go back a few years, though, and they were wanting to fire him. But I do like Kalani Sitake. I just don't know that I like him at Penn State. You know, we talk all the time about fits for coaches. Is Kalani Sitake a fit at Penn State? He doesn't seem to be. I mean, he may fit the money profile, but is he a fit at Penn State? You know, this whole thing with Franklin has just so blown up on Penn State. It's just, you know, but listen, here's the thing. You do stupid things, you win stupid prizes. And that's what's happened to Penn State. They lost 19 recruits. You have ex-Penn State players saying the only thing that was holding the recruiting together was James Franklin. That Penn State actually is lowballing people on recruiting, and it was only James Franklin's persuasiveness and his ability as a recruiter. Meanwhile, you look at Lane Kiffin's situation, and there are a lot of people who think Kiffin's the laziest recruiter in the country. I don't know what LSU just got. I guess we'll find out. Hey, let me tell you about Moretti's. Hey, listen, if you've never had Buffalo New York style pizza and wings, do not fret. Get to Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Skip the 12-hour drive to Western New York. Just get to Malden. Their pizza, it's thicker than New York style, but not doughy. Just a perfect crust, baked to perfection, a real stone oven. The Buffalo wings are authentic, legitimate Buffalo New York wings. Look, if your wings don't come with a Buffalo stamp original recipe, then they're not really Buffalo wings, are they? They're some other wings. I'm not saying they can't be good, but they're just not authentic Buffalo wings like you'll get at Moretti's. How about beef on whack? Man, it's just incredible. They cook this roast beef low and slow for 8 hours. They slice it thin. They pile it high on a sea salt caraway bun with horseradish sauce, served with odd juice for dunking. Trust me, it's an absolute must try. Moretti's also has appetizers, subs, sandwiches, calzones, burgers, wraps, salads, chicken fingers, pasta, Italian entries, fish fry Friday, so much more. And yes, a full bar and a family-friendly atmosphere. Sports fans, this is your spot. Ask about the Little John Coliseum table while you're there. It's Moretti's. Again, family atmosphere, big screen TVs everywhere. I hope you got out and watched the game there if you didn't get to go in person. 783 East Butler Road in Malden, just a half mile off of I-385. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular. You thank me later. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blochaven.com.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Race with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Whether it's our famous glazed or one of our specialty donuts, we have something for everyone at work or at home. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Hey Clemson family, it's Davis from Engineered Sleep. My family's been handcrafting mattresses for four generations, and now it's your turn to sleep like a champion. From now until December 7th, get our lowest prices of the year off our premium handcrafted mattresses. Visit engineeredsleep.com or stop by our Greenville showroom. Engineered Sleep, four generations of better rest built for your best game day.
Hear that? Mm-mm-mm. That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Ultra, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. Mm-mm. ZzzQuil Ultra helps Mike fall asleep fast, stay asleep longer, and get the deeply restorative sleep he needs so he can wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Ultra. Not for colds, just for sleep. Really great sleep. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit tigermovinggreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Get ready for the City of Malden's Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2, brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce.